Christ. Praise to Christ our Lord.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, send your Spirit to guide our hearts and our mind so that we may be open to your words. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Today, our cathedral observes both the Diocesan Healthcare Sunday as well as St. Andrew Mission Hospital and Singapore Anglican Community Services Sunday. SAMH and SACS are the healthcare and community service arms of the Diocese of Singapore. SAMH focuses more on healthcare-related work, while SACS focuses more on social services. We are part of the holistic ministry of the Anglican Church in Singapore, reaching out to people in need and serving the community. We preach the gospel through actions. With a humble beginning 104 years ago for SAMH and 50 years ago for SACS, we currently run 23 institutions and centers across the island, providing hospital care, elder care, autism services, psychiatric rehabilitation, and family services. The Bible teaches us how to live a life as God's people. In the Old Testament, God gave the commandments to the Israelites, which form the fundamentals of the life under the law. On a regular basis, the Israelites follow three primary acts of righteousness: prayer, fasting, and giving, as their respective responsibility to God, self, and others. In the New Testament, born-again Christians are led and empowered by the Holy Spirit to fulfill our duties to God, self, and others. How do we do that? Jesus came to fulfill the law. He gave us the greatest commandments, the fundamentals of New Testament Christian living. First, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. In our Protestant tradition, we often speak of the doctrine of justification by faith. We are saved purely by God's grace, and we are declared righteous when we put our faith in Jesus. Yes, we cannot add anything more to what Christ has done for our salvation. However, we cannot speak of justification by faith without understanding that the faith that justifies is not alone. John Calvin, the great reformer and theologian, said, "It is therefore faith alone which justifies, and yet the faith which justifies is not alone." Martin Luther, probably the most well-known figure in the Reformation, said, "For faith never is alone, but always has with it love and hope." Our evangelistic work of the gospel must be backed by solid actions of service, especially to those in need. Jesus sets a very good example. When he preached the kingdom of God, he was also always serving, healing, and reaching out to the poor and disadvantaged. Christian churches understand this very well, and serving the community has always been a norm for Christianity. Most Christian services take the form of education, healthcare, and social services, following the example of Jesus in teaching, healing, and deliverance. In this regard, I would like to share with you the stories of three extraordinary women of faith who started these three areas of Anglican ministry in Singapore. The first woman of faith is Mrs. Maria Dyer, a missionary of the London Society. She was on her way to China, and when she stopped in Singapore, walking along the streets, she was horrified to see a pitiful group of young girls auctioned as slaves for the homes of the rich. These girls were known locally as Mui Chai slaves. Moved by the compassion for this poor girl, she resolved to do something for them. In 1842, she started a home for homeless girls in the tiny shop house in North Bridge Road and provided education for them. Many of the locals did not even appreciate what she did and opposed her efforts because they did not want the girls to be educated. Today, it is known as St. Margaret's School, the oldest girls' school in Singapore. I'm not sure any one of you is from St. Margaret's School. The second woman of faith is Mrs. Charlotte Ferguson Davy. 4 years ago, in 2013, we celebrated St. Andrew's Mission Hospital centenary anniversary. SAMH services were started by Mrs. Ferguson Davy in 1913. She came to Singapore in 1909 with her husband, the first Anglican bishop of the newly established Diocese of Singapore. After she arrived, she saw the plight of the poor local women and children who did not have access to medical care. Even if they found one, they did not have the means to pay for it. So she decided to do something for them. As a trained medical doctor, she started the first clinic at Bencoolen Street, at the current site of the OG departmental store, which is actually not very far from here. I think it's this direction. Subsequently, many more clinics were set up to meet the needs of the various communities, and eventually two hospitals were built. One at Erkins Road, which is next to the current Maxwell Market, and later moved to Tanjong Pagar. The other one at Elliot Road, off East Coast Road, which took care of children affected by tuberculosis and polio, which were rampant problems in those days. What she practically did was, for people who generally could not come to this beautiful white church here, to bring the church to them. Now, the third woman of faith, Mrs. Ingnell Thomas, wife of Mr. Francis Thomas, if you were from St. Andrew's School, you may have heard of him. He was the principal of St. Andrew's School in Potong Pasir in the 1960s. Now, just to clarify, this Ingnell got nothing to do with the Ingnell Avenue at Bukit Timah Road. At that time, Potong Pasir was a poor village and often affected by flood. So one day, she saw an old man plucking leaf from plants to be used for treating his wounds as he was too poor to afford medical care. Now she, as a trained nurse, brought him home and treated him and asked him to return for follow-up. That old man did come back, but he told other villagers about this kind lady who treated him for free. So he came back with many more poor villagers seeking help. And on the same night, she discussed with her husband, and they felt that they had to do something for the villagers. And they decided to use part of their own house to run a makeshift clinic for the poor villager of Potong Pasir. And Mr. Thomas later became the first chairman of the Anglican Welfare Council, which is known as the Singapore Anglican Community Services today. All these three ladies came from relatively affluent backgrounds, but they did not forget the less fortunate and needy in the community. God showed them the situations and called them to serve. They took a simple step of faith without the necessary resources, trusting God to provide when they obey and act. Each starting a small ministry for the local people, they probably never expected that their work in the beginning eventually grew to what we have today, serving thousands of Singaporeans in need and making a great impact in their life. Their story tells us the meaning of having a living faith, a faith that is truly not alone. And a living faith changes people's life. You may have read in the Straits Times on 10 October, which was the World Mental Health Day, the story about Alan, a healthcare assistant in St. Andrew's Nursing Home in Bangkok. It is hard to imagine that barely 4 years ago, the 48-year-old healthcare assistant was himself battling with his own illness. Diagnosed with bipolar disorder in his 20s, a brain disorder that causes extreme mood swings, he suffered severe depression for much of the following 2 decades. He was in and out of different hospitals more than 20 times. He could not hold down a job or venture out of the house. His relationship with his loved one was badly strained. And in 2008, Alan was transferred to the Hougang Care Centre, run by the Singapore Anglican Community Services, for rehabilitation after treatment at IMH. And his condition eventually stabilised, and we arranged for him to be trained as a healthcare assistant so that he could start to restore his life back in order. His relationship with his family improved greatly, and on his 45th birthday, he began work at our newly opened St. Andrew Nursing Home at Bangkok, a 300-bed long-term residential care facility for people with mental health issues and disabilities. His own experience in recovery meant he could empathize with them on a deeply personal basis. Residents had conditions such as schizophrenia and dementia. Many exhibited aggressive behavior, and Alan endured rejections, punches, and kicks. Working with each one daily over a period of 1 to 6 months, he was able to reduce their aggressive behavior and help them to rebuild their self-confidence. Alan said, "I see every resident as my friend, and they deserve as much love, compassion, and support from me as I once received from those who care for me." For his work, Alan was one of the 4 people who received the highest honorable mention at the Healthcare Humanity Award in April this year. The annual rewards organized by the National Healthcare Group pay tributes to healthcare workers who display exceptional qualities and dedication in helping others. Our ministry is the ministry of hope. God never gives up on anyone, neither should we. Our work has given hope to Alan and restored his life. And in turn, he could serve as a channel of love, of hope to others. I would like to mention a particular person Alan cared for, and we have permission to share his story. In 2013, when we celebrated our SAMH centenary anniversary, we opened our first nursing home, St. Andrew Nursing Home at Bangkok. One day, we received a referral to admit a teenage autism boy, Edwin, who was blind, and he fractured his leg and could not walk. He could not speak to express himself, and care was assessed to be highly difficult and complicated. and his widowed mother had difficulty caring for him because his two other siblings also have special needs. While we were hesitating if we should admit a blind and mute person with severe autism, someone came along and reminded us that in the early history of St. Andrew Mission Hospital at Tanjong Pagar, during the immediate post-war years, sick and handicapped children were abandoned and left at the doorstep of the hospital, knowing that those angelic nurses would take them in and care for them. So we admitted Edwin. And of course, we needed to put in extra efforts to care for him. He has since progressed well and is able to walk only 1 year after the admission. As soon as he could walk, you can see in the photo, Alan, the carer, bought him his first pair of sports shoes using his own money. Although Edwin cannot speak or see, he can feel the love and warmth of the care staff. I personally saw him holding on to them and following instructions. This is a very significant accomplishment for a person with severe autism. And this story has been made into a short TV documentary on the Red Dot. You can see the difference in Edwin between his initial admissions and how he is today. He is happy and able to walk and does not scream and shout anymore. Edwin will not be able to understand you if you try to preach the gospel to him, but he can feel the love of God through our ministry. Every person matters to God. His love does not differentiate if a person is autistic or disabled or mute. Christ died for us all, including Edwin. The faith of Maria Dyer, Mrs. Ferguson Davy, and Mrs. Ignil Thomas prompted them to take the first step to reach out to the needy. The story of Alan tells us the work we do can bring hope to the despair and restore their lives. The extraordinary care provided to Edwin is a living example of how Christ's love could reach the poor and sick. So it is truly a ministry of faith, hope, and love. I wonder if you could recognize the place in this picture. Can I have the next picture? Yes. I took this picture recently when I was in Zakynthos, a Greek island. This is the famous shipwreck bridge in the very popular Korean drama, Descendants of the Sun, broadcast by Channel U in May this year. Can you recognize this if you have watched the drama, the shipwreck bridge? Now, have you ever wondered why this drama is called Descendants of the Sun when the drama itself never mentioned any descendant nor the sun? Now, the title is meant to describe the sacrificial commitment of the two main characters in the drama, a soldier and a doctor who serve in a peacekeeping mission and risk their life to help people in need. So they behave like the sun burning itself to give light and warmth to others. I show you this, it's not because we are descendants of the sun. We are not descendants of the sun. We are descendants of a much greater light, the light of Christ. Now this year, SACS celebrates our 50th anniversary. Our Golden Jubilee theme is Let Your Light Shine. Our pioneers have faithfully followed the command of Christ to be the light of the world. We must continue to shine this light, bringing warmth and love to the community we live in. I share this story with you because I want you to know that you need not worry if you were considered to be talented or not by others, or having a lot of resources, or able to make a big impact. God does not look at our strengths. He is almighty and He does not need them. He looks at our hearts. If we have a willing heart to serve and follow Him, He will lead us and open the way. There is an interesting story about Mr. and Mrs. Thomas told to us recently by their daughter, Margaret Thomas, that little child in the picture. Now actually she is an old lady now, about how her parents met. Mr. Thomas was a tall and handsome English gentleman and a Cambridge graduate. He was a teacher then at St. Andrew's School, while Eng Neo was the school nurse. She was known to be as a very kind lady. And one day, Mr. Thomas looked at her in front of others and asked her to marry him. She looked around and wondering who he was talking to. Mr. Thomas said, "Don't look around, it's you." She was stunned and replied, these are the exact words that their daughter said, "It cannot be, as I am fat and ugly and have a flat nose." Mr. Thomas said, "I don't see any of this. I see only your hearts." You know the rest of the story and how this couple became a blessing to the many students and poor villagers they serve. Now, 2 days ago, SACS officially opened our third psychiatric rehab home at Farrer Park, and we named the hall Eng Neo Thomas Hall. But this is not to glorify Mrs. Thomas, but to remember how God used a rather simple woman to start a great ministry because she has the right heart. I would like to encourage all of you to remember the less fortunate in our society, regardless of our age, capabilities, professions, educational background, income level, all of us can contribute. Some may be doing big things and others smaller things, but in God's eyes, everything is important to Him if you do it with your heart. In Matthew 25:40, Jesus said, "Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." So if God is calling you by speaking directly to your heart or through someone or showing you a situation or catching your attention with a news report, what is your response? Our SACS anthem says, "Here I am, Lord. It is I, Lord. I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart." Let this be our response. I would like to now close by inviting all of you to stand and sing this anthem as a prayer to God to use us as a channel of His love. Amen.